If I were to say something about beware of the perilous times, I think we would all agree that we're living in what are considered to be very perilous or dangerous times. And we'd be right, but so would the Apostle Paul back in the first century when he wrote to Timothy. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, the apostle writes to his son in the faith, informing him of difficult days that lie ahead for the young preacher and for the people of God. These are the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. There's a certainty in the words of the apostle. And he's talking about a period of time called the last days. Now in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter identifies the day of Pentecost as being within the last days. In particular, he mentions that in verse 17 of chapter 2. And we live in those same last days. Now, the words that were written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, were written for Timothy and for the immediate benefit of the family of God in the first century. What the apostle does is to paint a picture of the church and some of the issues that the church will face. Within that reality, Paul encouraged Timothy to stay the course in his work and in his life, and to help the brethren do the same. Well, since we're also living in spiritually dangerous times, we will benefit as we study God's instruction for perseverance and deliverance through this age. First, I'd like for you to think about the fact that difficult times come to the righteous because of the evil thinking and behaviors of this sinful world. Again, we notice the words of the apostle in which he said, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Now, Paul's warning here is not some scary bedtime story. Perilous times are real times that are difficult and hard to deal with because of pain and sorrow. In the original language, the word perilous is used to describe both physical and psychological harm. And since the establishment of the Lord's church, there have been and still are times when God's people deal with trouble, with hardships, and at times even violence, all because of our faith. Now, I want to encourage you to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 20 and think about the fact that these troubles that we face and that Christians around this world and all times face are directly related to the evil thinking and behaviors of the sinful of this world. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul warns the elders of the Ephesian church of troubles that lay ahead for the church and even from within the church. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." He says it will be after his departure. He could be referring to after his departure to Jerusalem, or it could be referring to his departure from this earth in his death. But he says after his departure that savage wolves would come in among you. And so he's saying that there is danger within even the church. And he says, "I did not cease to warn everyone." This is something that the preacher of the gospel of all times is called to do. It's something that I'm responsible for doing. To sound the alarm, to give the alert, to call everyone to be spiritually awake and ready for action. Now, in the letter of 2 Timothy, which is the main body of our text for this lesson, the Apostle Paul is warning a preacher of the gospel to sound the alarm. Preach the gospel. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Because a part of the good news is, watch out, prepare for, and overcome the difficulties that you'll face in this life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes by inspiration, saying, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." Now, did you hear that? There will be some of God's children who will choose to leave sound doctrine to follow those who lie. Why? He says some brethren will not maintain a desire for truth. Instead, they'll follow their own desires. So instead of changing their thinking, they go find someone who says what they want to hear, someone who falsely promises God's approval. It might be on matters of social drinking, saying, it's okay. It might be wrong thinking and teaching false doctrines of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, saying that just any reason is fine, just as long as you love the one you're with. It may be a matter of changing the pattern or the work of the church, or neglecting worship or even perverting worship. And of course, the issues go on and on. Instead of changing our thinking to suit the will of God, sometimes people will choose instead to follow their own desire, to find someone who says what they want to hear, and falsely promise God's approval. Now, for those of us who choose to stand with the Lord and to defend the truth, we live righteous lives, and because of that, we will face unpleasant, difficult circumstances, and sometimes even persecution, all because of our faith in these perilous times. Now let's go back to our main text that we're dealing with in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to pick up in verse 2. And the point that I want to make here is, we are to turn away from those hypocrites who do not love God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 beginning. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. The Holy Spirit here, through the Apostle Paul, speaks of those who create terrible, stressful, difficult, and even dangerous times for Christians. The Spirit describes them as being self-centered and self-willed, elevating themselves, trampling other people underfoot. They aren't bound by honor, and they're not faithful to the Lord. They despise others, especially those who are faithful, righteous, and godly. Their priority is their own pleasures. They do not love nor respect God. Now, who are these people presented here by the Holy Spirit? In part, he's warning us about some who call themselves to be Christians. Sticking within the context, there are even some who have been baptized, wearing the name of Christ, and who appear, perhaps at first, to be religious. He said they have a form of godliness, but ultimately they deny its power. That is, there's just no actual godliness inside them. There's no substance to their profession of faith. Now, what is it that Timothy and other faithful brethren should do, ultimately, regarding those who demonstrate such hypocrisy? Well, he says in verse 5, from such people turn away. So the troubles that we're going to face, and that we are perhaps already facing, are directly related to evil thinking and sinful behaviors of this world because of our faith. We're to turn away from such hypocrites as are described in verses 2 through 5. Now, continuing in verse 6 through verse 9, we want to understand that the unfaithful teachers of these false doctrines will be somewhat successful at leading some of the weak away with them. So let's pick up in the text in verse 6. The Spirit says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. These unfaithful people will be somewhat successful at leading some of the weak away with them. Sadly, through the appeal of false teaching, they encourage some who are free in Christ to go back into the bondage of sin, just like Jannes and Jambres tried to do with the children of Israel. Oh, they'll try to use Scripture. Really, they'll abuse Scripture, and they'll make captives of everyone who believes them. They'll proclaim Christ, but they make an appeal to sinful lust. Therefore, they try to exclude people from Christ. And the reality is that while these false teachers will have some success in their efforts, ultimately they're going to fail, just like those who opposed Moses long ago. One day, those who depart from the truth will be exposed for their hypocrisy. And we would do well to listen to the warning of the Apostle Paul, hold to the truth, and see the folly for what it is. Because the unfaithful teachers will ultimately fail and fall. Now let's go back to the text in verse 10 beginning. I want you to notice that perilous times, they provide an opportunity for God to deliver his people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Perilous times provide God with an opportunity to deliver his people. Those of us who choose to align ourselves with God, to listen to what he has to say, and to live that word which he's given us, we won't be taken in by the false doctrines and by the immoral behavior. But we must hold on to the word tightly. If you want to please God and to serve him, then you've got to listen, learn, and live his word. And Paul uses himself here as an example. He's not saying that he's the example, but that his life in Christ is a helpful example, a pattern worthy to be followed in perilous times. He said to Timothy, "You know what I've gone through. You've watched me. Now you do likewise." As he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Now what in particular does Paul say that Timothy is to do? He said, "You've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." But you know, that's not where the apostle stops. He continues by saying, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. These are attitudes and behaviors of someone who faithfully serves the Lord in perilous times. Now, some people might say, "Well, I like the idea of following the doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the love, and the perseverance, but I'm not so sure about that persecution and affliction." Well, the truth is, the only way we're going to get through these perilous times is by following this good pattern, this good life given to us as an example. And Paul reminds Timothy, as he reminds us, how he did it. Look at verse 11, the latter portion of that text. He said, "Out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Paul is reminding us that God can do the same thing for us. The Lord will deliver us too, but if and only if we want to and will do what's right. You think about that promise that's given to us by the Holy Spirit as recorded by the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, in which he said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God has promised to do his part if we'll do ours. We must learn what the right thing to do is and get busy doing it. Perilous times are ahead, so preach the word, because that's what's needed today. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Let's read this text. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. To Timothy the Apostle Paul writes, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. After warning Timothy and us of the dangers that lie ahead, the apostle charges Timothy, preach the word of God. The word of God is what builds up the weak. It equips all of us to share the gospel, to defeat the false doctrines of man, and it prompts and encourages us to repent of all sin. The gospel, which is to be lived through active discipleship, is God's answer to our need for surviving spiritually in these perilous times. Let me say that again. The gospel, which we are to live through active discipleship, is God's answer to our need for spiritual survival in these perilous times. The gospel was needed then, and that's what's needed today. The apostle warns that there are going to be many who are deceived. But you know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say they can't help but be deceived. The truth is, no one needs to be deceived. Every one of us can choose whether we will or will not follow the lies of the devil. Anyone who departs from the truth and is led into error is being led by their own lusts, their own choosing. One last thing about this, and that is this. The Apostle Paul says the gospel message being preached and lived by the faithful is not going to remove us from the difficulty. Even though it won't remove us from the difficulty, it certainly will help us to live the life that's given to us by God, faithful to Him, pleasing to Him, and a life that will be rewarded by Him at judgment. Now, all who choose to live in harmony with God in His Word will enjoy victory over sin and over death with God. That's why God provides us with these warnings in His Word, warnings about perilous times for righteous people. Those who choose to reject God's Word, who give in to their lusts and who oppose the truth, are going to be judged unworthy of eternal life. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48. If you want heaven to be your home, if you want to be delivered from these perilous times and from the difficulties in this life, then obey the gospel and never compromise it. As the Hebrews writer has said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If we can assist you in making your life right with God today, through obedience to His Word, then please don't hesitate to let us know so that we can help you. Thank you so much for listening. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.